One of the most important things that the devil does is, in his area of importance, is blind us. Amen. Most of the time we don't even realize what's hindering us until it's too late. And we must be sensitive in the spirit to realize what might be hindering us. Amen. In the book of Hosea, in chapter 4 and verse 6, which we know the scripture quite well, the word says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now that word knowledge is a representation of expansion, or as knowledge of understanding, wisdom, lack of knowledge of the ways of God, lack of knowledge of the understanding of the spiritual side, lack of knowledge of who we are in Christ and who Christ is, lack of knowledge that, according to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12, that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but powers of darkness. Amen? Lack of knowledge. And one of the things that the devil tries to do is to hinder us from knowing what is going on. If he can prevent you and I from knowing what's going on, he's got us defeated in that area, doesn't he? And remember that we're in a war and every day's a battle. Every day's a battle. You know, yesterday's battle's gone. And if you lost yesterday's battle, you can't go back and fight it. But if you win today's battle, it'll defeat yesterday's.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's no space and time in the spirit. But we're bound by space and time in the natural. So what God is always trying to do is get us into the supernatural. That's why Jesus says, "I am he who was, who is, and who is to come." Because he's not bound by anything. Jesus. God, who is Jesus, who came to be the door for me and you, and who is the way, the truth, and the life, manifested himself so that you and I could walk with him and in him and be in all realms at one time. Amen? One of the things that hinders the children of God is the famous word called fear. Fear. Fear, 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 fear. Fear. I mean, I'm telling you, fear. Fear prevents and destroys so many things. It destroys lives. It destroys families. It destroys children. It destroys businesses. It destroys everything. Fear. Amen. Now would you turn to Ephesians 6 with me, chapter 6 and verse 10. I just want to read this for a second. Fear. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness, rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, go down to verse 16 for a second. It talks about, you know, putting the full armor of God on. And it says, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one." So it says that fiery darts are coming at me and you, right? Now when you and I are in a world, you know, on Valentine's Day, whenever you see this little angel with this little, with that little arrow, that's that fiery dart, okay? And what he has in his hand is actually, he's a demon, that little Cupid. Is a demon with a lust dart. Hello? He's a demon with a lust dart. And all of us were out there buying our girlfriends all of these wonderful cars, living in fornication, whatever. And some of us that were married were not living in fornication, but praise God. And we've come home with this accursed card. And we try and share our love with them, and we didn't know that we were actually causing a stumbling block to ourselves and them. And this little Cupid that was just shooting this lust dart, usually by the end of the night there was an argument anyways, because of that demon. Hallelujah. And that little Cupid demon got many people in trouble, and it still is to this day. So when you hear about these fiery darts, these little darts are just like what that little demon was doing, throwing an arrow, shooting an arrow, and those arrows, on those arrows are voices. Okay? They're voices. So when you get hit with this arrow, you go, oh, I think this. Oh, I think that. Oh. Does everybody get it? Those were the darts from the devil. Okay. That led us astray. Praise God. Now you can turn to 2 Timothy 1. So you think that one of those darts has a fear on it? Amen. Big time. Fear. Now, Paul is writing this epistle to Timothy. And, you know, the Bible tells us that Paul's epistles are hard to understand. So you really have to get in the spirit to interpret what he's saying. Now, you must understand that he's writing this, and in the first chapter, it's almost like a summary of what he's going to write about. In this first chapter, he's writing to Timothy, and he's trying to encourage him, because he knows fear is gripping him. Now watch. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, and without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That sounds like encouragement, doesn't it? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Obviously, he had to remind him to stir up himself, because obviously he was telling him, listen, to my understanding, I believe that your faith is beginning to dwindle a little bit here, Timothy. Now, I know that your mother and your grandmother were women of great faith. And I know that this has been passed down to you, Timothy, and especially because I've been ministering to you, and you are my son in Christ. And I want to remind you of this faith that your mother had and your grandmother had, and it is in you. Now, I want you to stir yourself up, because by praying in the Holy Ghost increases your faith. Everybody get it? Okay. And verse 7, would you all read that with me? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, I mean, all of a sudden, out of the blue, this comes out, doesn't it? But in reality, this is all a part. It's not just another verse. What was he reminding? He says, now, Timothy, I want to remind you that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. In verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and the grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So we see here that some of these attributes of fear, which you can see that Paul was talking to Timothy because he was concerned about fear coming upon Timothy. And he was reminding him, come on, Timothy, you need to stir yourself up. Don't forget that I go through sufferings just as much as you go through sufferings. Amen? Now, some attributes of fear is a representation of what does fear bring? Well, we see here just in this first chapter, fear brings shame. And it also hinders, slows down, or even stops faith and the power of God to flow through us. It weakens our ability where we become trapped in doubt and unbelief. It also weakens our memory where we forget what God has done for us, because fear grips. Fear grips. It also hinders our testimony. It removes the believer from the spiritual mind to the carnal mind. In other words, it removes that believer from the spiritual, supernatural to the natural. So we look for help through medications and so forth and doctors instead of looking through help through the Spirit first. It says here that in verse 7, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. So we know that it disqualifies or nullifies the love of God flowing in us, the power of God flowing in us, and the mind of God flowing in us. Because when fear grips an individual, it freezes that person. Does everybody understand that? I know I said a lot here, and I'll repeat some of it, okay? First of all, you got to understand something, that fear isn't an emotion. It is a feeling. So we know that we're dealing in the soulish realm, because three parts of the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Three parts of the soul are the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? Now, we know that love is, we don't really call it a feeling, it's a choice, but there is a feeling of love, isn't there? When you love somebody, there is a sense of joy and so forth. But there is a feeling in it, isn't there? So we see here that fear, when an individual is gripped by fear, I mean, I've talked with people who have been, they've been caged in their house for a long time because of fear. Now, we know that it's demonic because it says spirit of fear. Amen? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. It hinders decisions, doesn't it? It hinders the will of God in our life. It hinders. But unless we have the understanding that we are fighting this fear, the fear will always overtake us. That's why my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know how many people are afraid of losing their families? How many people are afraid of losing their children and their husbands? Fear. Fear grips people. It brings people into jealousy, rage, and hatred. Fear brings division. Would you turn to Romans 8, 15? Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, we see that the spirit of fear brings us back into bondage. It brings us back into bondage. Fear. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. But the spirit of fear doesn't want you to acknowledge that. The spirit of fear wants to bring you division. It wants to bring you loneliness and despair. Does everybody get it? So we see here that we come right back into bondage again by fear. I'm going to share another thing. Like I said, fear is an emotion, right? There is an unhealthy fear, isn't there? There's a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear, and I want to share a little bit about an unhealthy fear. Worry is fear. In fact, the Bible says that when we worry, we sin. How many people are worried about tomorrow when they haven't even fulfilled what today brings? Worry. Fear brings mistrust. We said jealousy. Fear brings panic, hatred, stress, paranoia. It brings negative thoughts. Fear leads to lies. When people are fearful, they begin to lie. It's like I share, people are bound by religion. They have two strong men involved. First one is fear, and the second one is pride. They're afraid somebody might find out how prideful they are. Hallelujah. Fear leads to sickness, loneliness, despair. Fear doesn't let us go of our past. It leads to wrong decisions, anxiety, strife, selfishness. There's a lot of, that goes along with fear, doesn't it? Fear leads to suicide. Fear leads to rebellion. Fear leads to heavy competition. And there's much, much more. But I think we covered enough of what many of the things it leads to. It's a terrible thing to be gripped by fear. Terrible. People gripped by fear have a torment of life until they're free from fear. People in relationships, husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends that are courting according to the ways of God. People get involved in fear. They're so afraid of losing one another. People are so afraid what people might think of them. That's called pride. They're afraid. Fear grips. People are so bound to their jobs, they're afraid of stepping out and trusting God. Fear. When people's bank accounts start getting low, they start freaking out. Law, that's fear. That's not God. You know, just the simple things that we don't realize how fear affects the life of every human being. Some people can't even sleep at night because fear grips them. You know, when we were out using drugs and whatever, that's the first thing that gripped everybody. Fear. Fear gripped everybody. Everybody turned into a demon. You looked at somebody, they were a devil, you know, or a cop. One or the other. Fear. Man, that dude's either a devil or a cop, one or the other. Fear. You know? That's a terrible thing because it comes from a terrible individual. Satan. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Fear shortens someone's life because it brings so much stress and anxiety. Fear. 1 John chapter 4. Fear brings bondage to the darkness, doesn't it? In verse 17, can we read this together? Love has perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Ooh. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, fear. What casts out fear? Perfect love. See, when people say, well, I love them, but they are fearful of losing them. Did you ever hear that saying, well, if you really love them, give them up? They weren't kidding. If you really love them, give them up. That's the difference between loving someone and lusting someone. Because involved in fear and the attributes of fear, which is torment and jealousy and rage and so forth, but it says perfect love casts out fear. Now, there's only one perfect love. And that's Christ. Most people get bound by fear because they lose the sight of how the love of Christ is for me and you, which is resisting and preventing the love of Christ to flow through us. Perfect love casts out fear. If you know and you have that relationship in the Spirit with your Heavenly Father with this perfect love, there won't be fear. You know how many people fear darkness? You know how many elderly people and older people, not just elderly, adults, still have to sleep with the light on? Fear. What a torment of life I was brought up in fear. I mean, I had fear as a child because of the way I was brought up. Fear gripped me in a great way. Fear. Couldn't trust nobody, whatever. Fear. I wanted to sleep with the light on, and I couldn't, so I was underneath the blankets, man. But I didn't understand that that demon was right there. His presence brought fear. Now, you got to understand something. Powers of darkness, devils, demons, feed off of your emotions. That's how they get fed. So if you, they can grip you with fear, if they can grip you to bring you to all of these attributes of fear, doubt, strife, confusion, this, that, whatever, man, they're getting fat. You're prime rib to them. You're filet mignon. Yo, let's go over to Ralphie's house. We're eating over there tonight. Yeah, what's going on? Well, they're getting feared out, man. See, these demons feed off of emotions. And there isn't a demon that doesn't carry fear. Somebody understand that? All demons carry fear. But there is a specific spirit of fear that grips you in such a great way. Fear. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we do have a right to be fearful of certain things, you know, but not to where it torments us. In other words, there are some people who are afraid to go scuba diving. Well, that's okay, you know. There are some people who just don't like heights, you know, but I mean, if they're talking 3 feet and they have a problem, there's a problem. Hello? You know, if there's people who can't get in an elevator, that's fear. There are people who can't fly. That's fear. That's spirit of fear. I know people that you couldn't give them $1,000 or $1 million, they wouldn't get in a plane. I don't know, for $1 million they might not. They just won't get in a plane. You kidding? I might, that plane goes down, man, I'm dead. They don't realize there's more car accidents than there's plane crashes. Actually, flying is the safest way of transportation. Fear. Hallelujah. But perfect love casts out fear. So if you and I are walking in the perfect love of Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, and have fellowship in the Spirit and maintaining the infilling of the Spirit, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings God's love and fills us with His love, we won't fear. The reason why we fear is because we don't trust. And you don't trust someone you don't know. See, you may know about him. You've seen his hand move in your life, and you've been blessed, and you know he's there. But you don't know him to where there's a love affair. Because when there's a love affair, there's no more fear. Does everybody get it? And the devil wants to move us out from that love affair. He's always trying to push us out so that fear will grip us. You know how many people get their fear? Man, I didn't read my Bible enough today. Whoa, I didn't pray enough today. Oh no, fear. Now some of us need to have conviction for not reading our Bible enough or praying enough. Yes. But not to where fear grips you to where I'm going to die. Amen. I got to do this. You know how many people got to do something? I think the fear spirit walks hand in hand with the I got to do spirit. Man, if I don't do something, fear. They're fearing if they sit still, they might fall. They're fearing if they sit still, they might hear God and they don't even know about it. Because see, fear never lets you rest. Fear doesn't allow you to rest. See, fear can be in just such the simplest way, and we don't even realize that fear is attacking us. It's a spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the spirit just showed up. The spirit can have access to us through ancestral curses, whatever it may be. And sometimes it'll just... A demon will show up somewhere and He's trying to access us, isn't he? Should we go a little further? Is everybody all right? Praise God. Fear. Glory to God. Now we know that there's a good fear. There's a healthy fear, and that fear is known as reverence or respect. Now the Bible tells us that, and you don't have to turn there, Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now that fear means reverence. It doesn't mean that we fear Him. And we reverence and respect who He is. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that children should respect their parents. And a wife should respect the husband, and a husband should respect the wife. And this type of respect or reverence is healthy. And this reverence also has attributes. It brings joy. It brings strength. It brings trust. It brings freedom. It brings healing. It brings love. And much more. This reverence. See, if we'll maintain that reverence to God, we won't fall into the other fear. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Well, if everybody got it, then we can go home. Praise God. Fear. Well, let's find out where it began. Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. How many people fear that they can't be what somebody wants them to be? Most people can't fear what they want to be. In other words, they fear of not fulfilling their position, or they fear what others expect from them instead of what God expects from them. Brings us into bondage. In Genesis 3, in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. Stop. Read it again. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. Stop. Read it again. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Hello. He is the most cunning. In other words, he's not stupid. And he's highly respected among his peers. In fact, he's a genius. He is the highest archangel there was. Does everybody get it? He's not stupid. In fact, he runs a very tight, well-organized army. He knows exactly what knows how to trigger your soul. He knows how to set the bait and snare us in the traps. But thank God, He who is in us is greater than He who is in the world. But if you're not in the Spirit, you'll bite the bait. And you'll bite the bait of fear. If you don't acknowledge that there is fear, if you're not sensitive in the Spirit to know that fear is gripping you, that presence of fear will increase. He may come for dessert every once in a while, but eventually he'll come for a full course meal. Amen? And he'll bring his friends if he can get away with it. Come on, does everybody understand this? Amen? Now that we know he is the most cunning beast that God created, that ought to let you know something right there. Fear. Let's go to verse 6. Hallelujah. Can we read this together? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And the Lord said to him, "Who told you that you were naked?" Wow. Who told you that? Who told you that? Does everybody understand it? In other words, who told you that you were afraid? A lot of things happened in the garden. Fear came from the serpent. They could no longer see through the eyes of God as God sees them. Do you understand that? They no longer saw through what God... Let me tell you what fear does. It prevents you from seeing yourself as God sees you. Does everybody get it? It prevents you from seeing you as God sees you. Fear. But it allows you to be seen as the devil wants you to be seen. Does everybody get it? Well, I'm just this, and I'm that, and I can't do this, and I'm that. Well, whose eyes are you looking through? Fear. See, when fear grabs hold of you, you no longer can see yourself as God sees you, but as the serpent sees you. And we know that the serpent is a liar, isn't he? Because he's the most cunning beast created. So we know he's got to lie. So, what happens is people get caught up back into drugs. They get caught up back into bondages. They get caught up back in... Why? Because now they're listening to the voice of the stranger because the Lord said, "Who told you that," right? So somebody had to tell them. And we have a whole teaching on who told you that. And we know that it came from the serpent. So it's the original, the prince, the power of darkness of air, the serpent, released fear. There's spirit of fear. In fact, that spirit is also known as a distressing spirit. Does anybody know who that distressing spirit went on?
Saul.
Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." Ooh. You got troubles? You being tormented? Hindered? Confused? Distressing spirit, known as spirit of fear. Go to verse 23. "And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, the distressing spirit, that David would take a harp and play with his hand, then Saul would become what? Refreshed and well, and a distressing spirit would depart from him." But of course it came back, didn't it? Those spirits come back. They come back to bring you worry. You can't wait on God. They come back to bring you confusion. They come, let me share something with you. When that spirit of fear comes, what happens is we begin to go in our own strength. Does everybody get it? We begin, because if you can't trust God, you try and fix it. Now it's like I share with everyone, the drugs and alcohol are easy to get off of once those spirits leave. But the dying to self is rough. The dying to self is rough. You gotta die to yourself. And you got to remember that your flesh is the seed of the serpent. The devil has access to your flesh. Does everybody get it? That's why we must be led by the Spirit so the flesh is crucified. That means the devil has been put under our feet. Amen? Because the heel of the seed of God bruised the head of the serpent seed. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see that praise and worship, that's why when people come and praise and worship, that's why the devil prevents people from worshiping. so they can't get free. Now, I'm not saying that that serpent or that devil isn't going to try and attack again. I mean, some people, they come to the church, man, they get freed up as soon as they walk out the front door. It's like, sound like Dino the dinosaur. So when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we get that refreshing, we've got to be able to say no to those things. When that voice tells you you're afraid, you got to say no in the name of Jesus. I mean, we see those bumper stickers everywhere that says, just say no. That's from God. Just say no. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 29. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. You know how many times you get in a circumstance, you go, oh, I don't know what decision to make. Oh, I don't know. You know what you do? Nothing. You wait. You know why? Because you can't hear God when you're being distressed. You can't hear Him. Oh, man, that's fear, isn't it? It's certainly not joy. And it certainly doesn't sound like there's too much confidence in God at that moment. So we got to stop. We wait. We pray in His Spirit. We worship God. We acknowledge Him. And you'll find that the peace of God. The Bible says what? Be anxious for nothing, right? But in all things, prayer and supplication and the peace of God will guide your mind and your heart. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 29, in verse, let's see here. Verse 25. Let's read this together. The fear of man brings a snare. Say that again. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Wow. The fear of man brings a snare, but the trust of the Lord, you're safe. Yeah, but, no buts. The fear of man brings a snare, but the trust of the Lord is safe. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 6. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 6. You know how many people are afraid of tithing? You know how many people are afraid of giving money to God? I'm telling you what. You know why? They don't trust them. They don't trust them. You kidding me? Give God more than my tithe? Who's going to pay my bills? Why, you bonehead? Who do you think gave you the money to pay your bills? Amen? Oh, I remember I was told you can't outgive God. In Matthew 6 and verse 25. Until you get out of that comfort zone, you can't walk in the supernatural in the comfort. You walk in the natural and the comfort. But you walk in the supernatural and the uncomfort. And that's where God is always moving. You got to get out of the boat and walk on the water. That just doesn't add up, does it? See, when it doesn't add up, God adds it up. Now you're walking in the supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 25, can we read this together, please? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I think we ought to just go home after that. This is Jesus talking, right? He says, what will you eat or what will you drink? Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value? Oh, much more valuable than them. In verse 27, which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, come on. What does worry do? Just opens the door for another devil. Amen? That's all it does. And brings more sickness to you. And separates you further from God. Because when we're worrying, we're getting further away from God. In verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, all you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. He knows. See, if you truly have that relationship in Him and with Him, you'll know that He knows. And you won't have to say, oh, Daddy, I need this, I need that. You'll say, Lord, you know my needs, and I thank you. And then you just wait for it to fall in place. And it goes, bam, you go, thank you. Bam, thank you, thank you. Thank you, bam, thank you, Lord, I give you glory. See, the thing is we've got to stop answering our own prayer, right? In verse 33. Is everybody there? Let's read it. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now stop. First you must seek Him and His righteousness. If you're seeking Him and His righteousness, He's filling you with His love, and perfect love is casting out all fear. And you know that you won't lack. And that He meets all your needs, and you have a love affair with Him, and you find the supernatural manifesting. Amen? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So praise God. We don't need to worry, do we? He says He'll never forsake us. He says we won't lack anything. The reason why we do lack is because we're doing it in our own strength. And we're shutting God off. Somebody understand that? Sometimes He's saying, listen, you need to start over. You need to start over here. You've been still trying to fix this, and this. You're not giving me a break. You're so bound by fear, you keep running and trying to fix, and I'm standing here watching you. And my hand's not in anything you're doing. And until you surrender it all and start over, you'll be doing it on your own. Amen? Should we go a little further? Hallelujah. Isaiah 57. And verse 11. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody all right? Well, you're all still here. Come on, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 57 and verse 11. And of whom you have been afraid or feared, that you have what? Lied. I told you fear brings lies. And not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart. Is it not because I have held my peace from old that you do not fear me or reverence me? So when we don't reverence him, we go into the other fear. Does everybody get it? When we don't have the fear of God or the reverence of God, we go into the other fear. Now the devil is always going to try and attack you. His first thing he's going to try and do is grip you with fear. Fear is the number one thing. Fear that you won't get something. Fear. Fear. Fear that you won't complete something. Fear that you won't be worthy of something. How many people I talk to and counsel with that tell me they just don't understand, they're not worthy? Well, who told you that? Fear. I'm not worthy. Fear. Praise God. Exodus 23. Praise be to God. Exodus 23 and verse 27. Can we read this together, please? Let's start at verse 25. Hallelujah. So you shall serve the Lord your God. Is everybody with me? And he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Wow. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. Now listen, the Lord says he would send fear on others around you. Now, if you're obedient, right? Now, if you're walking in fear, that means confusion's around you. Because he said he'd send fear ahead, which would bring confusion, wouldn't it? Well, if you're in disobedience, fear is on you and confusion is on you. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Ezekiel 2. You know, and don't get me wrong, because you know what, I woke up in my room and just sensed so much fear sometimes. And it's been like, whoa. Where my natural state almost wants to put the blanket over my head, you know. But then the Holy Ghost kicks in and says, that's a devil guy. Thank you. Okay. And then I command that demon to leave, and then all of a sudden peace comes. See, because he's still trying to put me underneath my covers. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse something, 6. Ezekiel 2:6. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their what? Words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But what did he want to do? Get his words in, didn't he? God wanted to bring his words from the spirit realm into the natural realm. But there was something that he said. He said, don't be afraid of their words or how or what they look. In other words, don't be afraid of what you hear or what you see. Does everybody get it? Don't be afraid of what you hear or what you see. I've seen so many people get moved out of ministries, moved out of position of God, backslide, because of what they hear and what they see. The Bible says that you and I are not to walk by sight, but by faith. Amen? In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. It's a good refresher course. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1. Can we read it together? Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Giving heed means what? Listening. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by what? And hearing of the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing the word of a devil. Does everybody get it? Okay. So many will fall from the faith and listen to the doctrine of a devil because of what they hear or what they fear. Amen? Go to Romans 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, where are they hearing this stuff? In the mind. You know, the devil wants mind control. There's a fight over your mind. Romans 7. And verse 23. Romans 7:23. Can we read this together, please? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, so he's seeing that this law, this war in his mind, is bringing him into captivity of sin. And worry is sin, isn't it? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Amen. So we see that this war is in our what? Mind. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 3. Let's read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what would that be? Those little Cupid darts, right? Those demon darts. that are hitting you. Bam, 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 bam. Think this, think this, think this, think this, think this, think that. And let me tell you, if they can get the little one in, then they send a bigger one, a bigger one, a bigger one, so you're harpooned. And once you're down on the ground and you're all, then they harpoon you. They don't play no games. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. The arguments are in your mind, not with individuals. He's not talking about arguments with people. He's talking about the arguments in your mind. Does everybody get it? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Thought. So he's not talking about bringing every person into captivity. He's talking about bringing every thought into captivity. To the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So first you got to bring it into captivity. Then you punish it by being removed. Somebody get it? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Kings, chapter 18. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. 1 Kings 18. Now, in verse 20, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And that's what they did. Okay? And we know that the prophets of Baal, nothing happened. And Elijah called fire down from heaven and it consumed the whole altar. And Elijah ended up killing all of these prophets, 450 of them. Okay? Now go to chapter 19. Now Ahab ran home and told his, I guess you could call him his wife, his wife, Jezebel. In verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. I mean, come on, it was a powerful victory, wasn't it? Can you imagine being Elijah calling down fire from heaven? Seeing the altar of God burn up and everything around it and kill 450 prophets? Man, you had to be in the spirit. I would have been dead tired. In verse 2, then Jezebel sent message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, which he read, he arose and ran for his life. And went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. I mean, he got up and buggied. The guy just got done killing 450 prophets. Calling fire down from heaven. He reads the information sent by, the message sent by Jezebel to him, that she's going to kill him and have him killed. And he books. I would say fear gripped him big time. And not only that, he leaves his own servant there. Come on, this is a man of God, a powerful man of God. Why didn't he just turn around and call fire down on them? Hello. I mean, he did before. Right? On the servants. 50 men come out. How many times? 2 or 3 times. And he called fire down from heaven and killed them. What happened? He took heed of the voice of the stranger, didn't he? Fear gripped him and he left. He just lost and forgot everything God just did. I mean, what a testimony. Come on, can you imagine one of us showing up and saying that you called out fire from heaven and God showed up? What a testimony. Well, he lost it all. He lost the testimony. He blanked out. No remembrance. The only thing he thought of is, I'm out of here. He was totally in the flesh. Got right out of the spirit, and that's what the spirit of fear does. Moves you out of the spirit in the flesh. The only thing he thought of was his own life and about running. He said, see a servant. Gone. Thought he was the only prophet too. When God had 7,000 somewhere else. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. He forgot the reverence of God, didn't he? I mean, come on. I mean, think about it. You just saw fire come down from heaven. You'd think, God, whoa. I mean, yo. I'm glad I wasn't that sacrifice, you know? And that's what religion does, too. Religion loses sight of the reverence of God and brings self-reverence or a form of godliness. Does everybody get it? Religion loses the reverence of God, because you'll find most people that are really religious don't worship God. Or you know what they do? They come and they sing and they don't really worship God. They're ones that come and give God lip service but not heart service. Because they don't have that relationship, that intimacy. Hallelujah. Okay. Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Can we read that, please? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, reverence God and depart from evil. If you're reverencing God, you're going to depart from fear. Does everybody get it? If you're reverencing God, you're not going to reverence the spirit of fear. If you're reverencing God, you're going to depart from fear. And it's, what does it say? Depart from evil. You know, I mean, did you ever run across whatever? You know, when somebody wants to start an argument with you, whatever. You know, the Bible says depart from evil, right? Because then all of a sudden, you know, if you get involved in the conversation, man, then you're all frustrated, and then then the devil's convicting you, putting guilt on you, wondering, oh man, did I say what? Oh Lord, now you got fear, right? Now you got fear because. Now you're fearing of what you did. Does everybody get it? I mean, there are times, you know, when the Lord says openly rebuke and so forth. I mean, you know, going to jail is rough sometimes. And sometimes you just got to do things God wants you to do. No matter what. I mean, you can't go in there and try and be buddy-buddy with people. You got to go in there in the Word of the Lord. And there's sometimes there's just, and then when I leave sometimes, you know, because certain people get offended or whatever, it's like, Lord, did I do what you wanted me to? You know, all of a sudden the voice starts coming and it's like, no, 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 no. And I got to start saying no. You know, then I'm fighting the devil on the way out, you know. Besides fighting him on the way in and in there. Praise God. But God's faithful. Hallelujah. So what we need to do is depart from evil and reverence God. Let me share with you a couple of things that is essential. You must confess the word. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, while we're here, let's go to Proverbs 3. Oh, we're in Proverbs 3, aren't we? Okay. Let me see something. Okay, let's go to verse 24. Let's read it. When you lie down, you will not be what? Afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor a trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Hallelujah. See, the devil is just trying, the Bible says that the devil comes as a roaring lion. So he's just trying to scare you out of position. Does everybody get it? Trying to scare you out of position. Boo. You know? And remember, he's nothing but a little ant with a big megaphone. So we want to have sweet sleep, don't we? Praise God. So we must confess the word. While we're in Psalms, while we're in Proverbs, let's go to Psalms. Psalm 118. Verse 6. Ooh. Maybe we better start somewhere else. Let's start at verse 4. Psalm 118, verse 4. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. He's saying, now those who reverence God, let them now say what? His mercy endures forever. And verse 5. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Praise be to God. Amen. So you know, you and I must. The Bible tells us that we shall not. The terror by night won't. We won't have no fear about the terror by night, right? In Psalm 91, we shall fear no evil, right? And in Jude 20, let's go there. So we must confess the word. The Scripture is referencing no fear or fearlessness. Amen. We must confess the words representing fearlessness, the Scriptures, fearlessness. And go to Jude 20. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Ready? Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, that means praying in tongues, build your faith up. Amen. Okay, in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, wait a minute. Praying in the Holy Spirit builds your faith up and keeps you in the love of God. But it says perfect love casts out all fear. Hello. No confession, no praying in tongues. Opens the door. Got to get in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So what we need to do is confess and pray. Confess and pray. Depart from evil. The whole thing is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you do not sense the spirit of fear there, He's going to blind you. You're going to be tormented. You're going to make wrong decisions and you're going to walk in confusion. Amen. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, when people get drunk, they don't give a hoot, do they? Well, the Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you're confessing the Word, and you're singing hymns, and you're praising God, because the Bible tells us that the songs of deliverance will deliver us. Right? And if sacrifice of praises continually on our lips, you'll walk in victory. Fear won't grip you. Yes, we're going to run into things. We're going to sense fear, but it doesn't have to grip us. Do you understand that? It doesn't have to lead us. It doesn't have to cause us to make wrong choices. It doesn't have to cause us to fall in rage and jealousy and fear of losing things and loved ones. Well, what's my wife doing or what's my husband doing? Listen, if you're right with God, you ain't there. Does everybody get it? If you're in with Him, the perfect love casts out all fear. Well, when is this going to happen? Don't worry about when. The Bible tells us that we won't lack. Ooh, we won't lack. Can I go to one more scripture? Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Hallelujah. Just one more scripture, please. Psalm 34. Okay. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Let's read this together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bless the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. See, if you stay in that reverence to God, you won't lack. The only thing you'll lack is a spirit of fear. And we can handle that. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we thank You for that word. The word above all words, Lord. Now, Father, we take dominion right now, and everybody say to me, Holy Father,
Holy Father,
I come to you.
And I ask, Father,
that You'll search me through.
And You'll remove those things
that hinder me.
Empower me now, Lord.
As I take
my authority
in the name of Jesus.
And I bind that spirit of fear
and all of His friends
that torment me
and lead me astray,
that afflict my flesh
and torment my soul.
I cast down those thoughts.
And I cleanse my mind
with the blood of Jesus.
I cleanse my spirit,
my soul and my body
with the blood of Jesus.
And I command those spirits of fear
and all of those fruits
to loose me
right now
in the name of Jesus.
Devils,
come off of me.
Seek dry ground.
And not return.
I rebuke you, fear.
You will no longer have a hold on me.
And I will know
when you come close to me.
In the name of Jesus.
Now I curse
all the seeds
and all the fruits
that have been imparted in me
by the spirit of fear.
And command them to wither and die.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, Holy Father,
as I lift my hands to You,
I ask that You'll fill me with Your Spirit.
And anoint me.
Fill me with Your love.
Because perfect love
casts out all fear.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.